Good morning, everyone. I greet each one of you in the name of Christ. Good to be here again this morning, gathered in with the saints to worship God. As it was mentioned already, it's a beautiful day to be here, and certainly is a blessing to have this privilege to be here again. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That was one of the verses there in our Sunday school text. Do you enjoy being here? Is it a place you like to be with the people of God? Appreciated looking at that lesson, the righteous walk of the saint. And I think it parallels a little bit what I want to speak on this morning. I'd like to speak a little bit about the church, on the church this morning. Now, the message this morning was inspired by a church sign I saw. I like to see different church signs, see what's written there. Interesting thoughts, thought-provoking comments you see sometimes, things that get your mind spinning. And I drove by a church yesterday. It's not just local here. I'm not sure if any of you would have had reason to get past there, but it doesn't matter. I thought I'd share it here anyway this morning. But this is what was written there. Let's see if I can spin this for you. I'm not sure. Hopefully you in the back there can see it's not as bold as it could be. But it said, "What is missing in church?" With it spelled just like you see it there. The two middle letters missing. And just below it or beside it, it has the missing letters. You are. What is missing in church? You are. So as I drove past there and saw their sign, it got the wheels spinning in my mind. You know what? Why they have that message on the sign? Is it just a catchy phrase? Certainly does catch your eye, or you know, is there support? Are they lacking support there? I don't know. Maybe it's a message to general society, many who do not attend church regularly, to reach out to them and challenge them to show up here for worship. I don't know. But anyway, it stirred my thoughts to thoughts of the church and, you know, how important is the church to me? You know, is it a big deal for me to skip going to church? Do I miss it if I don't go? You know, how important is it for me to gather in with my fellow brothers and sisters? Do I contribute to the church? Is it where I feel included? What does church mean to me? Am I in church? Yes, we're here in bodily presence. We're here. But am I in church in spirit as well? Some of these questions and more went through my mind, and I'm not sure if I can will be able to do a real good job at putting some of my thoughts into words here this morning. And I briefly considered hearing a word of testimony from you, what the church means to you this morning. I don't think we'll do that. Maybe if you think about it, you can share in time of testimony on that, if you have something to share. I didn't necessarily pick a title for the message, but if I would, I'd probably pick something like, "What does the church mean to me?" Now, when we talk about church, you know, we use this word church in different ways, don't we? And I don't know if it's just the flaws of our English language, or if it's us being careless in the use of words. But we know what church is, don't we? It's the church is the body of Christ. It's a group of people, group of saints, who have been washed and redeemed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and are endeavoring to pattern their lives after the example of Jesus Christ with the power of His Spirit. That's the church, right? I believe we know that. And you know, it's a spiritual thing. It's something we can't really see, right? But you know, we use this word church in other ways too, don't we? Maybe the janitor brother this morning said, "I'm going to run down to church and turn on the AC." What's he talking about? He's not talking about the body of believers. Nobody was here yet, probably. But he's talking about the place where we meet. And so, maybe more correctly would be to say, "I'm running down to the meeting house or meeting place." Or maybe we say, "I'm going to get ready for church." Once again, we're not really talking about the body of believers, are we? But we're talking about the worship service. And like I said, I'm not sure if that's flaws in our English language. I wish we had words to differentiate more. Or maybe we have them and like I said, we don't use them like we should. But probably the message on that sign was referring to the worship service, right? And to maybe to the people that weren't there and could have been or could be. And I don't want to send anybody on a guilt trip obviously no one here, but if anyone listening in, you know, isn't here, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, unless of course you should be. But let's think a bit here about what the church is. And we're talking about as in the body of believers. And maybe some things that are characteristics of the church. And there's some verses I'd like to turn to as we think of these things. You can turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 18 says this. We're kind of breaking into a thought here. It's talking about Jesus Christ, I believe. It says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." It says, He, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church. So my first point I have here is Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Very basic, and we know it. But He's in authority. He's in control of the church. Just like I believe the head to a physical body. The head is in control. Tells the body functions what to do. It's what controls the body. Christ is the head. The church is likened to the body. Other verses would tell us that as well. Also, I'll just quote Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, I don't believe it's the whole verse, but it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Jesus is the author. He is the foundation of the church. He's our example. He's the chief cornerstone of the building. I believe He's called that in another place. Jesus is the head of the church. Another point I have The church, the body of Christ, is made up of many members. It's made up of many members. And we find this in chapters like 1 Corinthians 12 and others. It speaks of the body of Christ and likens it to a physical body. There's many different parts. There's a hand, there's an arm, there's a foot. It's made up of different members. And each member has a different role in the body. There's different gifts. There's different parts to play in the function of the body, both physically and in the case of the church. Third one I have is the Church of Jesus Christ is a visible body. It's a visible body. Or is it? Didn't I just say earlier, it's something we can't see? You know, there's a lot of folks that would like to say, well, I'm part of the invisible church. And I believe there is some truth to that. The church is, in some ways, invisible. So it might be partly true. But I believe the church also is very much visible. You know, in support of that, maybe Paul in his writings, you know, he wrote letters to different churches. The church at Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Ephesus, many others. You know, they were real congregations. Real locations. Nothing fake about it. Nothing invisible. You could actually go to Philippi or Thessalonica or Ephesus. And in each of those letters, he directly addressed people, real people at those churches, at those congregations. He addressed Timothy, Stephanus, Aquila and Priscilla, many others. And so the church, while it may be invisible to some degree, is visible. It's made up of real people. And in thinking of that, I came across, I believe it's a little book published by Stillwaters Ministries. I believe it was one time I was at Lakeview. There was a brother that was passing them out, and I ended up getting one of those. And I believe they call it a pocket sermon. It was compiled from a sermon brought by Jeff Jarman. And he spent some time talking about this. It's actually a very good little pamphlet to read. It doesn't take that long to read through it. And if you ever get a hold of it, read it. It's good. He explains the church very well in a lot better detail than I can. But he talks there about one time a man came to his bishop and said he wanted to be baptized, but he did not want to be a member of their church. Well, the bishop said, well, what am I going to baptize you into? Well, he said, baptize me into the invisible church. Well, that bishop told him, well, maybe I'm going to suggest that you go find an invisible bishop, because visible bishop will baptize you into a visible church. And so the Church of Christ is very much a visible one. Next point I have is Church of Christ is characterized by love. Just going down through some basic characteristics that I thought of the church. I'd like to flip to John chapter 13 for this one. Very familiar verses. John chapter 13. I'll read verse 34 and 35. Jesus talking, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so disciples of Jesus are known by their love for one another. And 1 John talks much on that as well. If you want some reading on that, read the first chapter of 1 John. I believe it's the first chapter, maybe more. And that is a characteristic of the church of Christ. Love. And not just to fellow brothers and sisters, but to others. You know, Jesus, His whole ministry was about people and reaching out to people, and not just people that were thought they were right. But it was to the people that had needs, to sinners, people who needed salvation. And that needs to be the ministry of each one of us. That needs to be the ministry that is the ministry of the church of Christ. To reach out to those people who need help and healing. The church of Christ is a hospital for the spiritually sick. It's characterized by love. Another one I have. The church of Christ is a pure church. Some of these we're not spending very much time on. I have verses here from Ephesians 5. Maybe I'll just turn there so I get it right. Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 27 says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Speaking of the church, from back up in verse 24, talking to husbands and wives, I believe, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Without spot or wrinkle, it says. There's no sin in it. All sins have been cleansed, have been covered by the blood of Jesus, I believe. And we could spend a lot more time maybe talking about details of that. But it's a pure church. Another one I have. The church of Christ is a pillar of the truth. And I did have a verse I was going to read in 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 15. The end of the verse. Well, it's kind of hard to break that one out. He's writing to Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church is a pillar. The church of Christ is a pillar of the truth. That's what it's based on. It's based on God's word. It's based on the truth of God's word. And so I believe these are some basic characteristics that describe the church. And I believe they're things that if we remember, we keep in mind, it helps us to remember the importance of the church. And it should help us to keep that in, to rivet that in our minds. So how important is, what does the church mean to me? How important is the church to me? How important should gathering together like this be to me? Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 6, Sermon on the Mount we call it, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now I believe part of me, part of gathering in with brothers and sisters in Christ like we do, it's because I have a hunger. for the Word, a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I look for support and encouragement that my fellow Christians give to me. I also thought of the exhortation that we have there in Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembly, the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That verse challenges us directly to not forsake gathering in regularly with the people of God. And you know, there's two phrases that kind of stood out at me in that verse. The one, it says, "as the manner of some is." I believe the Amplified Bible says, "as is the habit of some people." And I think we'd probably all agree that it certainly is the habit of many people today to just skip church, to not gather in, go do something else, go do something that I want to do instead of meeting with other believers. The other phrase there, it says, "so much the more as you see the day approaching." And once again, I think we probably all agree that we're closer than ever to this day. And we see signs more and more. And you just think about the world scene right now. All the unrest. I think we probably all agree that the Lord's return might be getting very near. And I think both of these things should impress us, you know, with the urgency that it's more important than ever to meet regularly with the people of God. Now, I thought also, in thinking of this, how important is gathering in with other believers to me. And I thought of the examples we have in the Bible, you know, of Jesus and his disciples and the early church. You know, we don't have a day-by-day calendar of Jesus' life showing what he did, where he was every Lord's Day. Of course, they observed the Sabbath, I believe. But it would tell us many times in the Gospels that Jesus and the disciples, they entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. There's many different places you would find that. They entered into the place of worship. And we have Jesus teaching and doing miracles, and they entered into the worship there. I believe gathering in to worship was a normal thing for Jesus and his disciples. And continuing into the early church, we see this, the same gathering of believers happening. In Acts 16, there's one that I saw there. Maybe I'll just turn to there so I get that correct. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were on one of the missionary trips there. In verse 12, it says they were in Philippi. In verse 13, "on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." And it goes on to say how they met the woman there whose heart the Lord opened. You know, Paul and Silas, they were looking for the people of God, I believe. They knew that down there by the river, outside the city, I think it says, that's where the people meet. That's where people come to pray. It says where prayer was wont to be made. And they gathered in there. It says that's where they resorted. And they found other people who were Worshiping God, it says. I believe they found other people who were seeking and hungering after righteousness. Also, I thought of the story there. I believe we probably recall it well, where Herod put Peter in prison. And where were the people? Where were the believers? Well, they were gathered together that night praying. They were gathered in praying. And God heard and answered their prayer. And I believe, you know, it's a lesson for us, I think, that, you know, as an individual person, I'm really vulnerable. I'm weak. You know, Satan can target me. And we're not as strong when we're by ourselves, but when we're with other people of God. There's a strength in that, I believe. Moving on to maybe a more practical side. What's missing in church? Are you missing in church? And yeah, I'm not talking about being here physically. Yes, we're all here physically. But am I actually here in spirit? Is this where I like to be with my fellow brothers and sisters? Is this my family? Do I feel at home here? And do I join in the worship? And am I inspired by worship and in the thought of praising God? Am I here because I find strength with other believers? I'm here because I want to be. It's not just an obligation. Are you missing in church? What else could be missing in church? How do you spell church anyway? Do you spell it like this? Oops, my marker's not real good here. Spell it like that. Sounds the same, right? IR makes the same sound. Maybe that's kind of a poor illustration, and that's not correct. But my point is, there is not an I in church. It's not about me in church life. And I believe this is one thing that should be missing in church. And don't get me wrong, don't take me wrong on it. There is many benefits that I get, and I do need church for my personal life. But I think you know what I'm getting at. Is that my focus in church life? Myself, what I can get out of it. You know, most of us who are married, we know how it works in a marriage, right? If it's about me, me, and me, and what I can get, it's probably not going to be a very happy marriage, is it? But the focus needs to be on what I can give, what I can do for my spouse. And I believe church life is, in a real way, a lot the same. The focus, I believe, needs to be on the you in church life. It needs to be on others. How can I help others? How can I support my brothers and sisters? How can I look out for them? How can I serve them? There's no I in church. And I think that's where we get into trouble sometimes, isn't it? Because, you know, I like me pretty good. And I like to do the things the way I like them. And sometimes, you know, we get to thinking, now this is my church. And I hope it does feel like I belong. But is it my church? And you start to feel like, well, I need to guard against this in my church. Or, I don't know about that person being a member coming into my church. And I try to keep things going my way. I believe that is a recipe for miserable church life when it's about me. When you have that I ingredient in there. Because whose church is it, really? Well, of course, it's the church of Christ. It's God's church. And I believe we just need to serve Him where He's called us, in humility. There's no I in church. What else could be missing in church? Is the love missing in church? Oh no, they put me on the prayer meeting committee again. Or am I glad to serve where I can? Am I glad for the opportunity to serve others and do what I can to make church a good place to be? What about love for my fellow brothers and sisters? Do I have any of those attitudes? Like, sure, I'll go to church. I'll go to the service today. But I sure hope I don't have to sit beside that brother or meet him. I can't stand him. Where's the love? Where's the love for my brother? I recommend if you have those thoughts, you better read that whole chapter of 1 John. Well, hopefully that's far from us. And hopefully I'm not being too negative here. Another one I thought of is compassion missing in church. Do I care about those about me? Yes, in the community, not just my brothers, not just those in my brotherhood. They're important too. Do I care about the others? Does it concern me that many around us, you know, are seeking or in spiritual need? Do I reach out in just the small ways I can? Be friendly. Do what I can to show kindness and so forth. There's many little ways we can show that we care. And I must say it worries me a little bit when sometimes, you know, we have, as conservative churches, we have a lot of things going, but they're all geared toward us, you know. They're things that we're busy with ourselves. But then we have just, well, not so much, that reach outside of the immediate circle, reach out to others. And I would challenge us in that, and myself, to do what we can in reaching others. Well, there's many more things we could look at here. One I thought of here is peace and joy. Is that missing in your church life? Are you here and you're filling your obligation, but you're just doing it because you have to, in quotes? You really aren't finding the joy in it. Is that missing? Well, how are you finding church life this morning? Is there something missing for you? Just like those letters there in church. There's an empty spot there. Or are you finding joy? Are you finding fulfillment in church life? What does church mean to you? Are you here because you love the church? Well, that's just a few of my thoughts this morning on church life. And hopefully these few thoughts could challenge, could inspire you. They can inspire us today. And God bless each one of you. I'm thankful for each one of you this morning in your part in the congregation here and wherever you serve. May God bless you as you continue to serve Him. Let's kneel for prayer.